Well, today, the first Sunday of Advent is the beginning of a new year of grace in the church. And apparently, we have done something similar on the outside that today seems to be like the first day of winter. And so we can tell by the attendance here at church that the winter weather is indeed well on its way. Tell which pair of glasses I'm supposed to have. There we go. Okay. You all looked a little fuzzy there for a minute. Today, as the first Sunday in our Advent season, is a time for us to think about the coming of the Lord. Now, most of us have been taught that the Advent season is really the time of preparation, the time of preparing for the celebration of Christmas. And yet we hear from the lessons today nothing about any sort of Christmas theme or story. Rather, we're hearing about the end of time, coming of the Son of Man. That's in Scripture, that phrase itself is talking just about that, the second coming as we often think of it. When we say the creed, we say we believe that he will come again. And that is what we are thinking about today. But actually, we need to think a little bit differently about that, because what we are really talking about today is living in the in-between time. We've already celebrated and seen the work of Jesus as he came among us in the flesh, born of the Virgin, raised to be a man, taught in the synagogues and in the streets of Palestine, and ultimately was betrayed, went to his death, and rose from the dead, ascended into glory, and left us here yet to do the work of God. Sent the Holy Spirit among us to strengthen us, to give us wisdom and insight, give us courage and the ability to know the will of God. And so it is that today we think a little bit about the second coming to remind us that we live in the in-between times. Now, it is our normal human tendency to think either about the past or about the future. Very few of us have the kind of discipline of mind and heart to live, as we say, in the moment. In fact, that's what most of the philosophy behind Buddhism is all about. It is about putting away the distractions of the world around us so that we can be present in the moment. Mystics, Christian and others, tell us that it is when we concentrate on our breathing that we actually have sort of a portal, a door into that experience. Because you can't breathe in the past, nor can you breathe in the future. You can only breathe in the present moment. So if you're concentrating on your breath, you are concentrating on living in this moment, here and now. Breathing in this air, breathing out that air. And so it is that often we get so tied up in preparing for something in the future or remembering something from the past that we not only forget to live in the moment, we don't even think about it. And that really is a blessing to us, for those of us who have the capacity to study the past, and others to actually do things to prepare for the future. Because, you know, people who are hungry now. The people who have not enough clothing and are cold now. The people who don't know what the next minute will bring live now. And so it is maybe the difficulty we have of having too much that we worry about the past, or we remember the past with great fondness, and we plan for the future often with a lot of worry. Many of us have had that experience, perhaps even ourselves or someone in our family, when someone's not feeling well and they go through a battery of medical tests, and somehow it's going to take some time for all of that to come back before we have any idea what's going on inside of us, much less to prepare a plan of action, a plan for treating whatever it is making us uncomfortable. And it is in that waiting period that we get very anxious and very nervous about things, and we have a difficulty even thinking about now. And I think that's what Jesus really is talking about when he's talking about this notion of a thief breaking in the middle of the night. If we knew when the thief was coming, obviously we would stay awake and guard the house. But he tells his own disciples right then and there, you know not the hour or the day. That is known only to the Father. And that isn't simply to put people on notice about that reality. It is to teach them that you shouldn't be concerned about that. That your concern as my disciples is to live today. To live now. Pay attention to living in the moment. In that way, too, we begin to realize that perhaps that's the path to solidarity with the poor, with those who have been pushed to the margins of society. For as we've mentioned already, they have to live in the now. They don't have the privilege of worrying about the future. Make sure they have enough to eat today. Well, it is in that way then that Jesus is teaching us something about the kingdom of God and what it means to be a disciple of his. Notice St. Paul even says something similar. He's talking about all of this sort of excess that we tend to live in, and that we shouldn't spend our time and energy worried about all of those kinds of things, but rather we should simply be awake. We should be aware. Aware of what God is doing now. So interestingly enough, this first Sunday of Advent, which we have been taught to think of as a season of preparation, isn't about the future, it's about now. Kind of turns everything on its head. That in fact, what God is asking us to do is to live in the moment, to live now, and to see the reality around us. You know, there's a whole part of the Christian church that is fascinated, well, I would even say more than fascinated, some of them even obsessed with the future, obsessed with the coming of Jesus at the end of the world. So much so that they sometimes follow some leader, some false prophet who will predict that the world will come to an end on such and such a day. And every time that has happened, the prophet has been proven false, and in fact, the world did not end. And there's all kinds of explanations. Well, I may have miscalculated or some crazy thing like that. The reality is, it is known to no one, Jesus says, except the Father. There's a whole raft of literature when I was in college that was very much dedicated to this idea of preparing for the end of the world. Late great planet Earth. Hal Lindsey was one of those great authors in that day and age. Probably many of you have never heard of him, but it was a very, very popular author and pieces of literature in much of the evangelical community. And in fact, there are those in the present day who even take a lot of resources to make sure that we have support for the nation of Israel in our foreign policy. Now, I have absolutely no problem with that, but most of the time, if you really dig down deep, the support for Israel isn't about providing a homeland for the oppressed Jewish people, for those who suffered the Shoah, the Holocaust. It isn't about that at all. For them, it is about making sure that Jerusalem is the capital, so that if Jerusalem is the capital, they can make sure that they then can send missionaries to Palestine and convert the Jews. Because in their theology, in their scheme of things, once the Jewish people come to faith in Christ and see him as the Messiah, then Christ will come in glory. Imagine that. Imagine that. But that's, we're building foreign policy of this nation on that principle. That's being obsessed with the future. That's exactly what Jesus said not to do. Because when you're busy about that, resources and all that capacity that could be taking care of the poor in our midst here and now today. Think of all of the things we could be doing to improve our society and to raise up the poor in the world. Think of all we could be doing to create peace rather than strife. It's just one thing. But there are many things that take their root in this worry about the future or the wanting to hurry up God's mind and heart. God will get there in God's good time. And nothing we can do will make it speed up. Maybe Advent is preparation for Christmas. Because it is, you know, as we get closer and closer, it's harder and harder to wait. Especially when those gifts are already there, all nicely wrapped. We go and shake them a little bit. We do all that. That's all part of that anticipation. And in fact, that's what St. Paul and what Jesus are telling us to do. That in fact, we live in the now and in the present by anticipating with eager hearts what will be in the future. We don't worry about it. We don't necessarily sink all of our resources, energies into it, but rather we see that it is coming. And in knowing that it will come someday, perhaps in our lifetime, perhaps much later, we live today in the light of that reality. So we strive and we work to make the kingdom of God real among us because we know the kingdom of God is coming. Where and when, we may not ever know or understand, but we know it's coming. And so, this Advent time is a time of quiet anticipation. Quiet in an active way. Paying attention. Paying attention. You know, we can be quiet in sort of a passive way. That's the kind of quiet that lulls us off to sleep. Now, St. Paul is telling us today, and so is Jesus, that our anticipation needs to be active. And maybe that's how we do other things. I mean, it's an active anticipation when we can't wait for Christmas morning. We have a focus, and our attention is there. Maybe we, as the disciples of Jesus, need to have as our focus not the presence under the tree, but the coming of the kingdom of God. And so, my brothers and sisters, today is the first day of our getting ready. Not for Christmas, when we nostalgically remember the first coming of Jesus, but that active anticipation of the coming of Jesus in the fullness of his glory when the kingdom comes in its fullness. But nothing we can do can make it come faster. All we need to do is be focused and attentive, to breathe in and out the Spirit of God. And in doing that, we will see the kingdom in all its fullness, we will see Jesus alive here.